message series I put together called Huddle Up. Today's message, the huddle, say it with me, of what? Floundering. The huddle of floundering. Jesus at least met with the disciples four times after he resurrected. The first two times we saw last week, I called the message the huddle of fear. They were huddled together in a room for fear of the Jews. And two different times Jesus met with them. Once Thomas, the disciple, was not present, once he was. And so we talked about fear last week. And I'm just glad that Jesus is willing to break into the huddle. Amen? I'm glad that he's willing to not leave us alone when we're fearful. Or he doesn't leave us alone even when we're what? Floundering. Amen? So he's got a job for these boys, and it's to take the gospel in the whole world. The disciples, these fishermen, these guys that have been following him. And now they're scared to death themselves because their Lord has been crucified. And though he's resurrected, they're still pretty messed up. So that's what this series is about before we come up to Easter. The huddle of floundering. Go, Roger, with me if you don't mind. After he resurrected, we just talked about this, Jesus met with his disciples at least how many times? Keep going. The first two times they were in a room, huddled up in fear, and Jesus was what? He was there. He came into the room. Now, at both of these huddle-ups, the first one and the second one, both they were fearful, Jesus said these words. He actually said it three different times. Say those words with me. Peace be with you. And boy, that's what we need when we're fearful, isn't it? That's when we're messed up. That's when we're all screwed up inside or in our head or whatever. Nothing better than peace. Okay? So Jesus, the Prince of Peace, entered the room. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of who? The Jews. They thought they were going to kill them. Next. They thought they were next on the hit list. Came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, say it with me, peace be unto you. Also we see again, after 8 days again, his disciples were within. They weren't without. They weren't going and doing what he basically told them what they need to do. And Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being what? I believe they were bolted shut, okay, with a lock. That's my opinion. And he stood in the midst of them and he said it again. Say it with me. Peace be unto you. So we talked about that on last time. What was he saying to his disciples who had failed him miserably? He was saying, I love you. Boy, they needed to hear this. I'm not what? You ever fail the Lord? Let me see some hands. Anybody fail the Lord in a room in here? Amen? Isn't it nice to hear that I'm not angry with you? You ever failed somebody and they had right to do it, but they took you to the cleaners, man. You know? They got some pain out of you. Well, Jesus didn't. He took the pain. He said, I'm not angry with you. I'm what? I'm here with you. That's to prove it. I'm right here with you guys. Calm down. Calm down. Here's the resurrected Christ meeting with these scared disciples. I what? I love this. I what? I believe in you. Guys, I died on the cross. I've risen from the grave, but I have a job to do. It's going to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Okay? That's the plan. I'm going to ever live to make intercession. But you are to be salt and light and to take the gospel in all the world, every creature. That's the plan here, guys. There is no other plan. There is no other plan. That's the plan. Okay? So, I believe in you. But watch this. I what? I want you. I believe you're saying that. I want to say that to you today. God wants you. Okay? Does he really need you? They didn't need you. By choice, he's chosen you. He does want you. And really, by choice, he needs you. It's a choice he's made to do it this way. Amen? Because he knows you can. He knows I can. We can be salt and light. We can preach the gospel. That's what God has called us to do. So, two huddles, the first two, full of fear, but at least Jesus is getting a little something out of them. Here they go. They begin now to what? To move. Move, man. Move, move, move. But they're moving the wrong way. They're moving the wrong way. The huddle of floundering. The huddle of floundering. There's some fish. Look at that flounder. Okay, now you really don't catch these in the Sea of Galilee, but I love flounder. You want the best flounder? Go to the fishery restaurant today. Today. Don't even wait. Go today. Fried flounder crisp. Can you say that with me? Fried flounder crisp. That's all you need to tell them. You can say Pastor Gary sent me if you want to. Fried flounder crisp. It ain't that easy to say, fried flounder crisp. Okay. Here we go.
Whew, mercy, come on. Brother, what you trying to do to me? Hurt me up here.
Why the word flounder for the message today? Because the word flounder is not just a beautiful white fish that Pastor Gary just loves to eat when it's fried crispy. The word means to struggle. You take your Webster's Dictionary. I preach using an old black King James Bible generally, and I use a Webster's Dictionary. That's the two things I use of choice. And this week took that old Webster's Dictionary out, and the word flounder, it does say nice little fish, but then after that it says these words, to struggle, to struggle. You ever floundered before, say? You struggled a little bit? Yeah, that's what that word means. Fear and failure and more fear makes it difficult to do what? To move what? Absolutely. When you're scared to death and you get even more scared, it's pretty hard to get the things in gear and get going again. It's hard. They were having that problem. We have that problem. Defeat and despair are debilitating. And also, you become what? Directionless. It's what happens. Okay? So, that's what floundering means, to struggle. Floundering is movement. Floundering is movement. There's the flounder. He's flopping. He's moving. In his own strength. And it's movement in my own ability. Say that with me. Floundering is movement, but it's movement in my what? My own strength. And it's movement in my own what? So that's what I want to look at today. Floundering is not faith. Say that with me. Floundering is not faith. Okay? We struggle, guys. And it's okay to struggle. But man, that flopping ain't faith. You just flopping. Okay? Okay? That's better just being, I guess, huddled up in fear. At least we got some flop in you now. Come on. How many have ever been there before? You're so messed up you couldn't even flop. Can I see? You couldn't even flop, man. The flop was gone. Here we go. So, faith, however, is not seeing yet what? Isn't that what Jesus said last week to Thomas? Remember? He said that last week. He said it to Thomas. He said, listen, Thomas. Yeah, now you believe because you stick your hands in the holes and in my side. Sure, now you believe. He said, blessed are those who believe, having never seen. You want to stop the floundering in your life? Believe even though you can't see. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe His Word. Trust Him. That's what this message is about. But we're staying with the disciples because that's where we're looking in the Scriptures. So, all we did was go through John chapter 20, and now we're flipping the page, whoop, and we're in John 21. Got it? So here we are. We're in John 21 now. Hadn't moved far. After these things, Jesus showed Himself what? Again, to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So they're here at the Sea of Tiberias. They're at the Sea of Galilee. That's where most of them are from. So they've certainly headed back home. They've certainly headed back to where they're from. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter. Here's Thomas again, called Didymus. Here's Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Two sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, and two other of His disciples. So there's a lot of the disciples are here. Got it? Y'all with me, yes or no? Hang in here. And Simon Peter says unto them, why the title, The Huddle of Floundering? Simon Peter says unto them, say it with me, I go a... Yeah, that's where the flounder idea came from. I go a fishing. Okay, so there's some movement, isn't there? He's moving. Was Peter a fisherman before he met Jesus, though? Oh, yeah. Did Jesus say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? Or did He say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of fish? He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of what? Men. So, He's certainly doing what He knows how to do. He's probably very good at it. Very good at it. His own strength, His own ability. Remember, floundering is movement, but it's in your own strength and your own ability. So, He's very good at fishing. That's what He's done His whole life. They say unto Him, to Peter, well, we want to go with you. We like fishing too, and we're good fishermen too. We're all going. So now they're sort of all together moving, right? So they went forth and entered into a ship or a boat,
Immediately. They didn't have to think about it. Now, Jesus tells them to do something. It takes a month and a Sunday to get moving. Peter says something that they know they can do in their own strength and their own ability. Oh, yeah, we're in. Isn't that how we are, say, church? Our own strength, our own ability. Remember, your own strength and your own ability is not faith. It's generally floundering. So they went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night, N-I-G-H-T, night is a while. So they were at it for a while, and they caught how much? Zero. Now remember, floundering is doing things in your own ability and in your own strength, and generally it's going to equal what? Zero. Okay? Let's look at it. So what do? They go back to Galilee. They go back to doing what they did before they followed Jesus. And they caught what? They caught what? Man, these guys are just striking out, aren't they? And you're going to strike out too as a follower of Christ. Having turned, having whatever might have gotten you to off track for the Lord, fear, whatever it might be, you're also going to strike out. You hear me? Come on, here we go. So let's do some math for the class today. Here's my own strength plus my own ability equals what? Let's look at it. Equals what? Can we do the math again, class? Come on. Now, you got that new funky math you know they're doing now in schools? Okay, believe it or not, I went to college and I was pretty good at math. Abby, first grader, comes home with math. Even I can't do it. But this is good stuff. I'm not so sure about all this stuff. You hear me say? I still like it this way. Can we do it this way? My own strength plus my own ability equals what? Is that simple? Yes or no? Give me simple math. That's what the Bible teaches right there, baby. Come on. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth how much? Much fruit. For without me, say it with me, you can do what? So the disciples are pretty much striking out, aren't they? Keep looking. Here we go. We're moving. Time's on us. And I love this. Say this loud. 1, 2, 3. That's absolutely. Here he's huddling up with them again. He broke into the huddle. Man, when a football team is struggling, and a little life can come from the sidelines into that huddle, that's pretty exciting for the football team. You hear what I'm saying? Say, man, send me either a good player or a fire plug or something to help me in this huddle. Amen? Come on, I need some help in the huddle. And Jesus broke into the huddle. But when the morning was now come, Jesus was standing on the shore. I've been there many, many times to this same area. It's incredible. These scriptures just come alive to me because I can just see them. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Okay? Especially they all night and eyeballs are like mine this morning. You know, they're sleepy. They've been casting that net. They are wore out. And Jesus says unto them, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? Worst thing a fisherman wants you to ask him when he ain't caught fish is, did he catch any fish? No! We hate that. We hate that. Don't go to the pier. Advice for Northerners. Are you listening to me? Don't go to the old Inglewood fisherman down at the end of the pier, look in his bucket and go, have you caught anything? He's going to stab you. Hush. Just assume if he caught something, they're in the bucket. Okay, here we go. Come on. So they answered no. Floundering sounds like what? Floundering sounds like fishing, but it ain't fishing. Guys, when you and I do things in our own strength, it might sound like church and it sound like we're serving God. We need to come to church. We can dress it up. We can sing the songs. But guys, anything you and I do in our own strength that is not of faith is not of God. Did you hear me or not? Not saying we don't use our own strength and our own, but sure we do. But by faith we serve. Otherwise, you're going to see that your life's just going to be a struggle. And you're going to get to be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and you're not even going to know that you're saved or you're going to heaven. But see, because you've been putting your confidence in you. That's pretty scary. When are you going to stop the floundering? Amen? I'm telling you, these boys were what? They were struggling. The huddle of floundering. We're moving, Raj. We're making it. Come on.
Jesus says in one other verse prior to that last verse where he says you can do nothing, John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in what?
Can you imagine those old nets coming back empty? And maybe some of this scripture and this teaching of Jesus is coming in their mind. I don't know. I have no idea. But he's trying to jog their memory, guys. Hello? Catch anything?
You're not. You're not going to do anything without me, he's saying. Now, Jesus knows fishing. Say that with me. Jesus knows. How many knows Jesus knows them fishing? Say.
I mean, he can say cast here and you catch the fish. He can say, you want to pay your taxes? Come here, little fishy, and there's some tax money. You remember the scriptures, yes or no? Okay? And he's the one that said, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, so Jesus knows fishing. Jesus, say it with me, is the master what? He's the master caster. These boys were throwing cast nets, and ain't nothing more tiring than throwing a big old cast net. It ain't like throwing a little bobber and sitting there and sipping on a drink. Okay, this is work, work, work. Every time, oh my gosh, got to pull it in again, nothing's in there except weeds. How many have done that before? My goodness. Saw a guy yesterday, Sanford, Pastor Lindo, he knows you from over, he was out at the dock throwing his net, he and his wife, Leona, sweet people from Jamaica. Yesterday I talked to him on the dock. He's throwing that net, ain't nothing coming back but weeds. I watched him. Here we go. Jesus is the master caster. So what does the master caster Jesus say? Hang in here with me. And Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the what side? This is hilarious to me. It's like, oh boy, he must be a genius. I mean, I'm thinking from their perspective. You know what I'm saying? So that's another clue. Do not tell a fisherman that ain't caught fish that really knows how to fish. He is going to hit you with a pole. So he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. I can't even believe they did it. I wouldn't have done it. I would not have done it. See, they didn't know it was the Lord. I said, you don't know what I wanted to say to them. But you know what? They did it. So they cast, therefore, they were not able to draw it for the what? Multitude of what? So the net's full, man. That's funny right there. Keep looking. Floundering is moving in our own strength and our own ability. Say that with me. Floundering is when we move in our own strength and our own ability. It means to struggle, right from the Webster's Dictionary. And when you do that, we only see us. If it's all about you, fat good luck to you. Okay? When the stuff really hits the fan, it's just you handling it. You're going to sink like a rock. You need Jesus Christ. I don't need him. We'll see. If I live long enough, I'll see you'll need him. Come on, I'm telling you. So at this point, they've only been seeing themselves, their fear, their struggle, their mask, their, you know, whatever. Their own ability, their own strength. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord! Boy, when that fish came in, they fished all night, now the net's full. They knew that just wasn't some joker on the sidelines. Amen? Say, come on. It's the Lord! And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his fisher's coat, for he was naked. That's why I never fish on the Sea of Galilee. It ain't happening. That scares me to death. Clark ain't going. Sorry. He cast himself into the sea. The lake, basically. The other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not that far from land, but as it were, about 200 cubits. They were dragging the net of fishes. We're not leaving them suckers out there. So they drug those fishes to shore. Jesus leads and Jesus feeds. Just walking through the scripture with you now. Jesus leads and Jesus feeds. So they were looking at themselves, and then John got a glimpse of who that really was on the shore. But he didn't see him because he saw him. He saw him because of faith. He saw him because of those fish in that net. He didn't all of a sudden get 20/20 vision. Look, it's the Lord that was telling us. No, it was the faith that caused him to see the Lord. Right? And that caused him to jump and to swim. And then his faith led Peter to jump and swim. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without it, you can't please God.
And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there was so many, yet the net was not broken, because he can handle it. Okay? Jesus said unto them, I love these words, come and dine. He's speaking to disciples who had failed and disciples who were fearful, now disciples who were floundering. But Jesus' words were not like, you're a piece of crud, get out of my life. No, it wasn't anything like that. His words were, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him who it was, for they knew it was who. Now they all are seeing him. Before, they were just seeing their own strength and their own ability, and they were just seeing themselves. Are you hearing the word this morning? It's a simple passage, one of my favorites in all the Bible. Jesus then comes, he takes the bread, he gives it to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third huddle. Say it with me. This is now the what? Third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. The third huddle up. So you've done it now. You've done the first two, and now you've done the third one. We're almost done. I got to finish. It's hard, but I got to do it. The huddle of floundering. Raj, I'll just have to read it best I can. To move from fear and failure, it'll never be done by floundering. You'll never get from the fear in your life by just continuing to struggle. Floundering must turn into faith and following and trust. Did you hear me this morning? Guys, they've got a big job to do. They're going to preach the gospel to the whole world, man. Jesus knows, man, if I leave them right here, it's not going to happen. So he takes the time and he huddles up with them. The biggest hurdle we have to jump over is our own crazy what? How many would agree with that? It's you that screws you up more than anybody. I'm talking about just negative thoughts, down thoughts, I'm no good, whatever, I can't do better, I'm a failure, whatever. Is that the truth? It's where Satan attacks us, the mind. So I want you to see something as we close the message. If we think we can't, we won't. This is what my mama said. If you think you can't, you won't. My mama also said this. If we think we're beaten, we are. That's how my mother lived. She cross-stitched these words with her own hand. I want you to watch Jesus lovingly deal with the man who he said would be the leader, Peter. Peter had power. He wasn't the first pope, excuse me. Sorry to bust your bubble. He was a man just like all of us. But some people are gifted to lead, and that was Peter. He said, I go fishing. They all followed him. Did you see it? This is the leader. Jesus wants to take time with the leader. Jesus lovingly deals with Peter. And I want you to see how he moves him from fear and failure to faith. And I'm just going to read the scripture because time's done. But we can do it. Come on, hang in here. So when they had dined, they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, stay with me. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Perhaps more than these fish and this way of life you've lived? Remember, Peter had denied Jesus how many times? Three times. This was killing Peter. And Jesus took the time with him. He said, do you love me more than these? Peter said unto him, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, well, feed my lambs. He didn't say feed the goldfish, did he? Feed my lambs, man. Keep looking. He said again the second time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? How many times? So here's the second time. Jesus is going to speak to him again. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. He said, well, then feed my what? Okay. How many times did Peter deny? Two times Jesus asked he loved him. He's dealing with him lovingly. He says unto him the what time?
Simon, son of Jonas. Now, if you're listening, really careful here. This is how the Lord has spoken to me in this passage many, many years. And this is the way I look at it. You might look at it different. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was what? He was grieved. He was broken. Because he said unto him the what time? Lovest thou me? And Peter said, here we go, watch this, don't miss it. And Peter said unto him, he says something different on this one. Lord, thou knowest what? Say that again. Lord, thou. One more time. Lord, thou. And watch this. Since you know all things, then you know this too. Watch. You know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, then feed my sheep. Now, I've got to quit. Guys, that's a big thing right there. We struggle because we think he thinks we don't love him or we can't do it or we're no good. We think that way. When God says, God knows everything, you don't have to convince God that you want to serve. You don't have to convince God that you love him. He already knows, guys. It's your own crazy mind that's keeping you down. It's your own crazy head that's keeping you in that hole. It's your own crazy head that's keeping you floundering and just struggling. Are you hearing the message today? When you get a hold of this last point, even if you denied him 3 times or 300 times, listen, if you love him and you mean it, listen, he knows you mean it. Whether your mama believes you mean it or not, or your grandmama believes it, or the Baptist preacher, or the fellowship preacher, or whoever. You hear me today? If you know in your heart, you need to have peace, 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 that my past is behind me and I can serve the Lord. Did you hear me today? Yeah, praise the Lord. We're down with the message. Come on, that's a good message, man. Come on. God, you know my heart, and you know I love you. And I think we got to be done, Rod.